This is a Shock podcast.
Shock. The C Word with Calista.
Well, we're here last month of the year and last episode of the season. We started season 4 of The C Word with Elifs, who was signed to Red Records. So how poetic is it that we also end it with an artist from the same label? Singer, songwriter, producer, Lullaboy, welcome to The C Word!
Woo! Wow, my first time here. This feels great. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that you came back because I saw you for the first time, I think, a couple of months back when you were in the Hit studio recording something else.
That's right.
And then that was like your last day, or you were leaving the next day, and I was like, oh no, I missed him. I didn't get to get him on the podcast.
I know, this is crazy. I mean, I've heard of you for so long, but we never actually got to do this. So the C Word, let's go.
I think we better start from the beginning. So your real name is Bernard.
Yeah.
And how did you come up with the name Lullaboy?
I guess Bernard is the British way of saying things, huh? A lot of people in Singapore would call me that. Even my managers call me that. I say my real name is Bernard because I was born in the US and that's how everybody pronounces it there. But
interesting.
To the listeners, yeah, you guys can call me whatever you want, you know, at this point.
Okay.
But Bernard Donato is my real name. And a couple of years ago, I decided to just go all in, go all out. And if I want to be an artist, you know, there's really no turning back. So I was like, now is the time for me to change and have an artist name. So Lullaboy was the right name for me. I never looked back since.
So how did you come up with it? Like, is it because you are someone who likes lullabies, or?
Definitely as a kid, for sure. You know, for me, writing songs has always given me some sense of comfort and helped me get through hard times in my life. So kind of like a kid listening to a lullaby, it gives them that sense of peace and comfort as well. And so Lullaby Boy, it kind of just, it just felt right to me. I was looking for a name for so long, like 5 years, and I couldn't find one. But ever since I decided to be Lullaboy, things have been falling into place and things just feel right. You know, it's kind of eerie.
Yeah, I mean, looking for, I feel like, artist name, even like for the name of this podcast, it took me forever. It was so nerve-wracking.
Oh, you're the one, like, who came up with it?
Yeah.
Nice. And
it just took forever. When I settled on it, I was like, but what if it's wrong? Like, I can't turn back, like you said. But so far, it's been good. And I think
I like it a lot.
I think your fans would also agree that your songs do kind of give that comfort and bring them like peace when they listen to them. So I think it's the right name for you as well, right?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's all. Everything I do is kind of like it's for the fans. It's for my listeners. Mm-hmm. You know, it's to do something good for this world. And if they feel that, then I know I succeeded.
I like that you mentioned world, because I was going to say your backstory is about as complicated as mine. You're American born, Singapore raised, of Indonesian and Chinese origin. So what was it like growing up as like a mixed kid or like a third culture kid?
Can you tell me what you are first?
My mom's from the UK. My dad's Malaysian Chinese. Was born in the UK, grew up in Sabah. And now I'm in KL. So.
Oh, okay. Wow. Definitely similar vibes then.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of all over the place. Like everywhere you go is different, right?
Yeah. Everywhere has a different culture and a different experience, and we carry that with us. Do you ever miss Sabah? Do you ever miss the UK? Do you remember what it's like there?
I hadn't been back to the UK for a really long time. I went back this year and I got to like reconnect with all my family who I'd never met since I was like 7 years old. So that was interesting. And I felt like when I went there, even though I hadn't been there since I was seven, it was just like a familiar feeling, even though I didn't recognize anything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So I feel like when you're a mixed kid and you moved around a bit, your experience is kind of different. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether you also feel like sometimes no matter where you go, you seem to be able to blend in really easily, but also feel like you don't belong at the same time.
Wow, you're hitting all the spots. Oh my gosh. I feel you completely. I mean, I moved from the US to Singapore when I was seven as well.
Oh, okay. Same age. Okay.
Yeah. It was a different world. I had to figure things out, how to, I guess, be Singaporean when I really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like Singapore is my home because I know so much about it. I know how to show people around and stuff. And that's where I would want to raise my family in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But it took some time for sure. I remember being like the kid who came to class and I talked like this. And everybody was just so confused. I remember I was reading a story and the word was F-L-O-U-R. And I said flower.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole class laughed at me. They were like, that's not how it's pronounced. In Singapore, it's pronounced fla.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, Malaysia as well. Yeah.
It's such a small thing, but it's been buried in my mind for like 20 years. But everywhere I go, I carry a little bit of that country with me. Like, my parents are Indonesian. Mm-hmm. That's the food that I ate growing up. That's what they speak to me. And Chinese culture has always been there as well. Mm-hmm. And the US side has always been there as well. So, wow.
I don't know about you, but like, because of that, because of what you were saying, like, my accent changes depending on who I'm speaking to.
Yeah, totally, for sure. You can whip it out when you need to, right? Like, you...
No, I have no control over it. Like, what comes out is what comes out. Like, sometimes it sounds like this. Sometimes I've got like this really strong British accent. Sometimes it sounds completely Malaysian. It's really weird.
Wow, that's so funny. It's like out of your control already.
I was actually like thinking maybe I should go to speech therapy. Like, this doesn't make sense, you know?
No, but I like it. It makes you unique. Like, this merge of all these cultures. Mm-hmm. Like, and now you speak the way you do. And the way you speak to me, like, this is cool.
Because oh, thanks.
I feel like this is not going to change. This is how I'm going to talk to you always. This is how you're going to talk to me.
It's so strange, like, being, like, in different cultures all the time. And because the way everyone lives is so different, right? Even though we're in multicultural countries, like, I feel like Malaysia's a multicultural country.
Yeah.
Singapore's a multicultural country. Mm-hmm. You somehow also take parts of those different cultures as well.
Yes.
So now you're like, you're not even a rainbow. It's like more than that, right?
It is more. And going back to what you said earlier, like, fitting in and not fitting in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's in the tip of my mind. Like, when people ask me, where are you from? Mm-hmm. Like, an artist from which country? I'm not always too sure of what to say.
Same.
Because I am who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. Am I Indonesian? Am I Singaporean? But I kind of see myself as both.
Yeah, you kind of carry the pride from both places, right?
And I'm totally happy to do that. Like,
yeah.
I would love to be able to be the blend mm-hmm. of like all these Southeast Asian countries and representing us to the States. Mm-hmm. That would be great. It's like a life goal and a mission, and I think we're on our way.
You also did something that was really Singaporean. So I read that you realized that you wanted to study music when you were doing military service in Singapore.
Yeah.
That's definitely an experience that only Singapore would have. But how did that happen?
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I was in the music department in Singapore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people wonder, like, the army has a music department?
That's what I was thinking.
Nah. Well, it does. And some other cool people who were in the same music department as me, they were my seniors, but Cesari was there. Nathan Hartono is also from this department. And yeah, a lot of the new musicians, like, they also came out from here because we got a chance to do music every single day with people who love music as well. We were performing all the time around the year, like for National Day and like different like Singaporean events. And it was practicing and rehearsing. Mm-hmm. And I realized through that experience that I love this. Like, I would love to do music every single day. And the army gave me the chance to do that, which is super unique, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's not what you think of when you think military service. Like, you know, you think of like all the hard physical training, maybe preparing to defend your country if needed. You don't really think that a military department would have a entertainment department, but I guess that's
right.
Probably new.
Well, I'll tell you what we're useful for.
Uh-huh.
For building up the morale of the soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Always so, necessary.
Yeah. So, like, one of the highlights of being in this music and drama company, as we called it, is when the recruits are done with their training. Like, I did mine for 3 months, mm-hmm. like the hard training. But a lot of these guys, they have to do it for much longer. And they just need a break. They just need a way to let loose. And that's where we come in and we give them like this huge party. Mm-hmm. And it's always very lit.
Yeah, I feel like especially now, like 2022, it's not like when we were actually at war and everything. Right now, mm-hmm. people do think of the mental health of those who are serving the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, thankfully, luckily for us, Southeast Asia has been pretty chill in that department. But there are militaries around the world that have to actually go out and fight for their country, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we've seen the after effects of what happens when they have to do that. And I think now, for instance, for Singapore to have an entertainment department in military service itself, I think it's a really good step.
Right.
And yeah, it's helping people realize their dreams as well.
That's the crazy part. Like, wow, I never would have expected that the army would kind of open up this path for me to just understand myself more.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I applied for music school.
I was going to say, and then you went to Berkeley of all places.
Yes, I did.
What was the application like to go to some place like that?
There's a crazy story here,
uh-huh,
which is, although I knew that music was like, wow, this is it, because of the army, right? I was like, music is going to be my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was still really scared. And so I applied to it, but I never checked my audition date because I just never wanted to open that email and, mm-hmm, and be like, okay, now it's time for me to do this audition. But when I finally did open the date, I realized I was one day late. And the audition happened 10 minutes from my house the day before. And in that moment, my heart sank and I realized, oh my goodness, did I just miss,
mm-hmm,
one of the biggest opportunities of my life? And so I panicked, called the school somehow and asked them, when's the next audition date? And the next one was in London. Well, I had to go all the way to London to do this audition. And yeah, it was worth it in the end. Fortunately, I managed to get in. And that, mm-hmm, defined the next 4 years of my life.
So was it as stressful as like it seems going to like such a prestigious school?
It was a school full of people who are amazing at what they do. And for me, music was always, I learned it by feel, by hearing. My music theory was horrible and I kind of had to start from scratch when I was there to learn all these new things. But yeah, once again, it just, every experience that happens in life, it really shapes us, you mm-hmm know. And going to college was, wow, the most important time of my life, I feel. These 4 years, they really shaped me.
Well, you had a pretty exciting journey because you were actually the first Indonesian Singaporean to intern at YG Entertainment.
Yeah.
That's, if you are into K-pop, you'll know exactly what YG Entertainment is. So what were you doing there? Like, how long were you there? What was it like?
Yeah, it was the second year of uni in Berkeley. Uh-huh. We had three semesters in a year. So the whole summer semester, I had a choice of like what am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. And I managed to get this unbelievable opportunity to go to Korea. And it was very scary.
Yeah. Imagine,
because I didn't know how to speak, you know. The closest experience I had to living outside of my house was college, but everybody speaks English.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going through the same thing. So you can check with your friends like, oh, how do I pay rent? How do I do this and that? How do I do my laundry and wash dishes? But Korea, I was alone and I had to travel there for 3 months to do this internship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 3 or 4 months. Yeah. But I would do school in the morning, like I would learn Korean language in the morning. And then after school is done, I would travel to the YG offices to do my internship.
So what were you in charge of?
I came in wanting to know about the back end of things, mm-hmm, of how the business is run, what it takes to like build such an amazing company and really support the artists.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of the business development side. Merchandise, I was involved with that. Video editing stuff and helping out with certain events as well. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had a chance to go into the music creation side.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back, like I don't even think I was ready. They would have just laughed at me. Because they're so amazing, you know.
Did it ever make you want to be a K-pop star?
It didn't make me want to be a K-pop star, but it motivated me like crazy,
mm-hmm,
because I saw what the K-pop stars had to do and I was like, okay, if I want to be an artist, then I need to put in like the same amount of work as them and more, because they're like talented like from birth, like unbelievable, right? So
I mean, they go through a lot of rigorous training, so.
yeah from young, and I didn't have that. I was running around playing catching and doing dumb things as a kid, you know. But that experience motivated me so much and it prepared me for what was next to come.
Did you get to meet anyone that we would know while you were there?
Interestingly enough, during my internship period, I only met one person.
You were there for 3 or 4 months and you only met one person?
Yes.
They really keep them secretive. Okay.
But it was Lisa from Blackpink.
Okay lah, never mind. Like, you meet one person, it's enough lah.
She counts as so many, huh? Yeah, she's great. So I was helping out with her event when she had to fly to Jakarta. So she flew from Jakarta from Korea and I flew to Jakarta from Korea as well. And we did this event, hung out the whole day with her, made sure everything was okay.
Was this when she was first going solo?
Way before.
Oh, before.
Way before. This was the end of 2018.
Oh.
Yes. After that moment, they were already huge when I met her. But the next couple years to come, oh my goodness, they just blew up even more.
Is she as nice? Did you get to bond? Because technically she's also Thai, right? So she's also Southeast Asian.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that I could speak English to her for sure.
Yeah.
And she's super nice. She's exactly what we see on the media. If she ever has interviews and stuff, she seems like such a sweet person. And when the cameras are off, she's exactly the same. That was inspiring to me too. I want to be like her. So thankful I got to have that experience.
I feel like all the Blinks are going to be excited to hear that, because the worst thing is when how they always say never meet your idols.
Right. Hey, and that happens sometimes, Calista, right?
Have you had those experiences? We can't deny
that that happens sometimes, but it's nice and refreshing to know that one of the biggest stars in the world, she treats her staff with respect, and she treated me with respect, and I was just this tiny little intern guy, and I wasn't even Korean, so I was kind of this outsider, but she was the one that was welcoming me.
I'm sure she appreciated the fact that you are also Indonesian, so you kind of were in home territory in a way.
I guess so. Yeah, I had to translate some stuff, and yeah, that was so much fun. I'll always keep those memories fun.
You were also a songwriter, or are also a songwriter with SM Entertainment?
It was kind of like a guest spot, I guess.
Huh.
So the YG internship was the first time I spent a long time in Korea by myself. And I never thought that I would ever come back to stay there for a few months. But I got that chance again. And this time I was a little bit more prepared. I knew how to speak a little bit better. I had more friends, and it wasn't burning hot. The first time I went, it was like a heat wave. And the people who were in Korea in 2018 will know that summer it was heat wave time. But this time I went, I was it was completely different. And I was invited to come to Korea as a guest artist for some TV shows, some award shows. I was hosting this award show for Tokopedia. And then when I was about to leave, I managed to have this huge opportunity with SM. And that was nuts, because I finally got to do the music creation that I was talking to you about. This time I was ready. And it was so much fun just to work with these incredible producers and other writers as well.
So which song did you work on?
They have not come out yet.
We're still waiting for it to come out.
Yeah, we'll be waiting.
I know you did a song with Salem Elise, right?
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah.
She was my old college friend, actually. We were in the same class together.
Oh, right. She also went to Berkeley.
Yes, she's my Berkeley classmate. And strangely enough, I actually learned a lot about songwriting from her.
She's insane. Her album was called Not Sponsored Content or something like that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Unsponsored content.
Yeah.
And the way that she can blend so many different brand names into one song, I find that mind blowing. And it doesn't sound cheesy, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it makes
yeah.
sense.
She's incredible. And I got to spend time with her when she came to Singapore for her showcase. And she's exactly the same as she always was. This cheery, fun girl who squeals when she sees animals. But she taught me about songwriting, because when I first met her and in that songwriting class, I had never written with other people before. But through her, I learned about what is co-writing, as we call it.
I always wonder about that, because writing seems like a very personal thing, and when you do something with other people, it's always about compromise, right? I'm sure everyone has different ideas and different words that they want to use.
Totally, yeah.
Do you prefer writing alone, or do you prefer co-writing?
Great question. So for the personal songs, definitely alone. But sometimes if you're going for bangers and you're going for specific types of music, it's fun to do it with other people. They're going to be able to flip your ideas and make them better, and you can do the same for them. And as we call it, bouncing off of each other. Co-writing is something that needs to be trained, though. It takes practice for you to be able to open up your heart and allow yourself to be vulnerable around other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that took me time to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
But now I love it.
The only time I've seen anyone like do the co-writing thing, and everyone will know, I always find a way to insert Taylor Swift into any conversation. So it was when I was watching a documentary of her and she was writing with Jack Antonoff.
Oh.
And like they were doing that same thing that you said, like bouncing ideas. Like mm-hmm. she will come up with something and he'll say, well, why don't you try this word?
Yeah.
And then she'll get super excited and then transform the entire thing, and it's like 10 times better than what already seemed like a good song or good lyrics. You
right,
know?
Right. What a great pair, huh?
Yeah, like they really, I think that's also really important when you co-write, right? Like you
yes.
need to find someone who has the same vibe.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah.
And there is one little trick, and it's being able to read the other person. Sometimes mm-hmm. you can tell when a person is truly in love with what they just suggested.
Mm-hmm.
And in those moments, you need to let them have it and say, okay, I'm not going to touch the idea. Let's go for that. That'll be the line. Sometimes you can tell when they're not too sure. And those are the moments when you can kind of like give your suggestions and inputs. But it's the beauty about co-writing is it's like a relationship and it's about compromise.
Yeah, I feel like no matter what, especially like in the entertainment industry, especially like music, you can always tell when people are super passionate about something, right?
Yes.
Like it's like an uncontrollable excitement that kind of fills the room.
Yes.
And I feel like I see that a lot when we bring artists into the studio, like when they truly believe that that song, or they truly love what they've written in that song, you can always feel the vibe.
Wow. Can you feel it if it's the opposite? Like if they're like not that into it?
I can, but sometimes I kind of give leeway because I'm like, I don't know how many interviews have you done about this song before you spoke to me.
Right.
So I get like, you know, like for me, when I interview artists, I try and come up with questions that I feel like no one's asked before.
Wow.
So sometimes when you get restrictions, it's really hard because I know I'm just going to get standard answers because I'm definitely not your first interview. You know what I mean? But if I can kind of figure out an angle to go where maybe they haven't had that question before,
mm-hmm.
then you suddenly see the spark again.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh yeah, okay. Like I haven't spoken about this part of the songwriting yet. Let me tell you the whole story. And then you can kind of feel it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really rewarding for the other side as well. Because like when I've managed to come up with a question like that and you see that you've managed to spark that fire again, it's like, yes, I did my job.
No, for sure. Sometimes even talking to you right now, there are things that I haven't thought of in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it always offers like new perspective. So thank you. And I love hearing your stories too because, you know, that's what being human is all about. It's about us getting to know each other and connecting, right? So
it's an exchange, right?
It's yeah.
always an exchange. And I think that's like when you were saying it's a collaboration and it's like a relationship. I feel like it's the same with like everybody else in the industry as well, like songwriters, producers, the label people, the marketing people,
yeah.
the people who are playing your music. It's all, we all go hand in hand.
Wow. I never thought of it that way either. But there's so many pieces that
mm-hmm.
that make this whole music thing work. Because in my mind, I was thinking, it's me and the fans. It's me and my listeners and our relationship. But there's so much more that goes into it, huh?
Right. Actually, you're right. Like, I guess artists do mainly focus on the fans because they're the ones that are there for you, right? Like, they're the ones that are building your career. They're the ones that are most excited
yep.
when you drop something,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
which is what I want to talk to you about next, which is your new single, Shortcut to Heaven.
Yeah.
That's a bop. Like,
thank you so much. And wow, Hits like has been playing it like crazy. So I'm super thankful.
Was that one that you wrote by yourself or did you have a co-write?
That was a co-write one. Yeah. For me, if I kind of release songs that I co-write,
mm-hmm.
I have made this rule in my head where mm-hmm. it has to be a song that I wouldn't have been able to write by myself. And Shortcut to Heaven is one of those songs that are just like, when I first heard the idea,
mm-hmm.
it kind of like blew me away.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was one of those things, the idea was pitched to you and you expanded on it and
yeah.
made it into what it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And grew a relationship with these other writers from the States. Grew a relationship with the producer because I was heavily involved in the production process too.
Mm-hmm.
And now that song, it's just like my baby, you know. It has been through so much. And we knew we had to put in that effort because it was going to be our first single that we dropped with the record label.
Mm-hmm.
After me being independent for so long, this was like the new era.
It has to be bigger and better.
Yeah, yeah. And now when I listen to it, like, I feel proud of it.
Who do you think will appreciate this song the most? Like, what kind of fan?
The fans that are exactly like me. People who love love. People who are hopeful romantics. And just wanting to believe in love and falling in love. Mm-hmm. I think that even people who are hurt and sad, mm-hmm. deep down, they want to believe that there's hope. So, you know what? To answer your question, everyone.
I like that. I'll accept that. Mm-hmm. The song is kind of like very chill, and then it's like kind of lighthearted, right? And then you shot the music video in a theme park.
In Malaysia.
Oh, was it in Malaysia?
It was here.
Okay, so did you go back to that theme park yesterday? I was stalking you on stories, sorry.
Oh, for real? I'll stalk you later.
So was it the same theme park?
No, yesterday I actually got a chance to go to Genting Sky Worlds, which is crazy. And if you guys haven't gone, you're missing out.
I haven't been yet.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go back. What an amazing place, you know? And the theme park that we went to, it was called Euro Fun Park.
Right?
I think it's pretty close. I think it's pretty close to here, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, mini version of Sky Worlds, but we had the whole park to ourselves. And the team there was really kind to us. They let us shoot from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. And wow, blistering hot day.
You can imagine.
The stylist like put me in fur. Like, I don't know what she...
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and she was a really small girl. So I think to her, clothes are really big. But I was like almost like double her height. And so the clothes were so tight and furry and... Wow, thinking about it, I remember the sweat. But hopefully the audience, when they watch the videos, they won't be able to see that.
Tell.
Oh,
you
few,
couldn't
okay.
tell. And like you mentioning that, I feel like I have to tell everyone, like, Little Boy is really, really tall. Like, how tall are you?
I'm 188.
Yeah, so he is double my height, basically. So yeah, you'll see him from a mile away. So if you spot him on the street, you know. But do you really love theme parks? Are you a roller coaster person or not?
How ironic, huh? For me, roller coasters are not the vibe.
What?
Yeah,
no.
I love the carnival games. I love winning prizes if I do win. Just experiencing the whole thing, you know, the food, the shops and stuff. But roller coasters, the kid ones are okay.
I love roller coasters.
You're a thrill seeker?
Yeah.
Wow. There's a scene in the music video of this like ride where they spin the chairs, like, mm-hmm. and the spinning goes insane. You kind of like swing from a chain and you sit in this like little baby
Ooh,
seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just goes crazy. We wanted to try shooting a scene with me sitting there and the cameraman would be in front of me. So we all got on the ride and we tried it. And this was the one ride that we went on. Mm-hmm. We died. We went one round. I had to, like, we all tried to stop the ride at the same time. It was going so fast. And after that, I had to take a break. And just, they were giving me candy and, like, different sweets to, like, wake up again. So if you guys watched the video, what we decided to do in the end was I just stood in front of the ride. Yeah. And it worked.
You're going to hate me. I love that ride.
Oh, you know it. I know. Oh, my gosh. Thrill seeker.
But you were born in the U.S. Like, all the biggest roller coasters are there.
I know, yeah. There's Six Flags, Magic Mountain. But yeah, I'm more of a Disneyland, Caterpillar, I don't even know, like Dragon Rides. Like, give me those easy ones.
One of these days, we're going to go to the theme park and I'm going to make you get on the roller coaster.
Oh, no.
Well, also, you're always on social media, right? Like,
yeah.
Where do you find the time with everything that you're doing? Because I know you just came off like a long Southeast Asia tour, and yet when I go on your Insta stories, you always manage to post. You were posting yesterday at the theme park, so Where do you find the time and the energy to still be able to do that with everything else that you're doing?
It's a conscious effort. It's very easy for me to not be on my phone. Actually, my friends will tell me that I'm bad at replying, but mm-hmm. it's mainly just because I can have my phone in the other room and I'll be fine. I post on social media because I want to stay close to the fans and I want them to know what's going on, mm-hmm. rather than like leave them wondering. And even though it's not always easy to say, okay, I'm going to pull out my phone and like take a picture, because I'm somebody who likes to take things in and just like watch. Like if I see a beautiful view, like I would want to just immerse in the moment. But I also have this feeling like I'm getting to experience something so amazing. Like I want to share this with the people that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
And that always helps me to be more like diligent with posting and stuff.
Are you also someone who replies to your fans in the DMs and stuff?
Because yeah, I do.
A fan went to your concert and she wasn't able to get in because she tested positive, right?
Right.
And then you came out and actually took a video from far. And
oh, you saw that?
Yeah, that was really nice. Aww. Like not many artists would do that for their fans.
Oh, wow. I mean, I usually know their usernames because I know who comments on the posts. I know who is really active with like sending me messages and DMs. They're are just those fans that I try to remember everyone. I think if God permits me to be like more successful and stuff, it's gonna get harder. Mm-hmm. But for right now, while I still can manage, I feel like they deserve the respect of me like remembering them. So I try my best. And that girl, she's been following me for years, and that was the first time we ever got to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine? Like she travels all the way to this event, and she finds out that she has COVID and can't join the party.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the least that I could do for her.
I mean, COVID is still out here ruining our lives.
Yeah.
Even though it's a lot better now, but you know, still unfortunately have situations like this.
For sure. Stay safe, everyone.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure she's going to have the opportunity to see you perform in the future. I mean, you're still on this really exciting journey. It's pretty much only the beginning, right? Especially with the new record label.
Yeah.
So on the journey so far, what's the best advice that you've ever received? And what is the worst advice that you've ever received?
This one's going to take some thought. I feel like we need to cut and restart this this podcast. Best advice, huh?
Mm. Maybe something that you, until this day, you still apply.
I'm staring into your eyes looking for an answer.
Actually staring into my eyes being like, why must you ask me these tough questions?
I think one thing that is super important is I have advice. Can I give advice?
That was going to be my next question, yeah.
it's to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
It's to be thankful of the little things, not just the big things.
Mm-hmm.
But because on tour and in everyday life, things are not always going to go according to plan. Not everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of little perfect moments that we need to be thankful for. And if we focus on that, it'll motivate us and encourage us to keep going.
I feel like that's really good advice, actually. Especially like for people like me, I feel like I have a tendency to always want to go on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll have this achievement or I'll do something that I've always wanted to do. And then it's done. And then what's next?
Wow.
So I just kind of, okay, that's done now. I forget about it. I don't celebrate it. I don't, you know, revel in the feeling. It's just like, okay, it's done now. What's my next goal?
Oh my gosh, yes.
So that's actually a problem that I've realized this year, actually. It's mm-hmm. because you always feel like you're never doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really have to stop and look back at all the things that you've done so far to actually notice it.
Yes, preach it, girl. That's exactly, that is it. A lot of people don't look backwards.
Yeah.
And you hear that advice sometimes. They're like, don't look back. But you have to
mm-hmm.
because you have to realize how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
And then only can you give yourself some credit. If not, we're just going to be on this journey and it's never going to end. It's just going to be a life of like searching for some what's next and something mm-hmm. more. But like, look at how far you've come. Look at where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm getting to do like this interview thing with you right now. So never forget that.
Yeah, I think that's something that we need to remember. And I think that was really good advice. And saying that, you get to sit down and do this interview with me, but I get to actually see you perform live.
Yeah.
In a couple of days. So yeah. That's really exciting.
So you're going to be the MC, huh?
I am. Don't Woo. Give me a hard time on stage.
Oh, no. I'm so excited. I'm glad it's you. It's going to be awesome. This is going to be my first ever showcase in Malaysia. So I'm super excited. The team is working so hard on mm-hmm. it. And I can't wait.
Where can people find you if they want to know more or they want to just follow your journey?
I'm everywhere. You'll be sick of me. I'm everywhere at Lullaboy or LullaboyXO on Instagram mm-hmm. and TikTok. You can just YouTube Lullaboy and you'll see a whole bunch of my videos. Although it feels like I'm a new artist, and like I'm just starting the journey. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for quite a while. So for all the new fans, like welcome to the Lella fam.
Is that the fandom name?
Uh-huh.
Do your fans have a name?
Yeah, I mean they just say that they're part of the Lella fam.
Oh, they just say it. Okay.
But I also like to call them dreamers. Yeah. Aww. If you're talking about them individually, you know? Yeah, I want everybody to always believe in their dreams and just follow their heart.
I love this whole aesthetic. Lullabies, dreams, and just good music, you know?
Oh, I'm glad.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the Sea with Lullaby. And thank you for closing out season 4 with me.
Closing?
Yeah, this is the final episode
of
the season.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for having me. This was so much fun. And I'm looking forward to what's to come.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for listening, and I'll see you next year.
The C Word with Calista.